I had a blessed childhood. I lived with my extended family in my grandmother's house. And she's the person who taught me to read, and taught me to read in a very amazing way. Even though she was a teacher and there was plenty of paper at home, she taught me to read by writing words on the earth with a stick as we walk around our farm. Whatever there was something that caught my attention or that she knew was of interest to me, she'd spell the name and she'd tell me that. And so in a way, it made reading so organic and so related to nature, to the outdoors, to the world, that it was a fascinating thing. And I've written about this, and I won't tell you now all these stories, but I do remember when she taught me the word for rose in a way to teach me the letter R, and how she wrote it in her cursive with a little the little loop up there, and told me that that was a rose that wanted so much to see the world and was climbing the wall of the garden because of the wonders that exist in the world outside. And I can even remember her voice right now. And I was only 3 years old, but it impressed me so much, that idea of seeing the world, that it's something that stayed with me. The love for roses also stayed with me, and the love for words. But I must say that before learning to read, I learned to enjoy words. My mother used to sing me all these old ancient medieval ballads to put me to sleep. And I loved listening to these words, some of which I understood and some of which I did not, but which had such a resounding charm to me. And my grandmother used to sing me verses that she put her own music to. And my own father, who was not very musical, he would still sing me songs. And all of these words, I kept during the day, and I kept remembering them. I memorized them. My grandmother taught me poem after poem that I memorized when I was very young. So finding them in books then was a revelation. It was like I can hold on to them. They're here for me. But the love for words was essential, and it began so early. I came first to the United States when I was 15. My parents gave me the option of having a quinceañera party and spend money on that, or send me to the States for a summer to learn English. And I decided that it made much more sense to come to the States for a summer than to have a lavish party. And I came to Pennsylvania to a girls' school for summer where I learned some English. And then I was 17 when I finished high school, I was able to get a scholarship to a college in Colorado where I was asked to be the assistant to the Spanish department teachers. I had a blessed childhood. I lived with my extended family in my grandmother's house. And she's the person who taught me to read, and taught me to read in a very amazing way. Even though she was a teacher and there was plenty of paper at home, she taught me to read by writing words on the earth with a stick as we walk around our farm. Whatever there was something that caught my attention or that she knew was of interest to me, she'd spell the name and she'd tell me that. And so in a way, it made reading so organic and so related to nature, to the outdoors, to the world, that it was a fascinating thing. And I've written about this, and I won't tell you now all these stories, but I do remember when she taught me the word for rose in a way to teach me the letter R, and how she wrote it in her cursive with a little the little loop up there, and told me that that was a rose that wanted so much to see the world and was climbing the wall of the garden because of the wonders that exist in the world outside. And I can even remember her voice right now. And I was only 3 years old, but it impressed me so much, that idea of seeing the world, that it's something that stayed with me. The love for roses also stayed with me, and the love for words. But I must say that before learning to read, I learned to enjoy words. My mother used to sing me all these old ancient medieval ballads to put me to sleep. And I loved listening to these words, some of which I understood and some of which I did not, but which had such a resounding charm to me. And my grandmother used to sing me verses that she put her own music to. And my own father, who was not very musical, he would still sing me songs. And all of these words, I kept during the day and I kept remembering them. I memorized them. My grandmother taught me poem after poem that I memorized when I was very young. So finding them in books then was a revelation. It was like I can hold on to them. They're here for me. But the love for words was essential, and it began so early. I came first to the United States when I was 15. My parents gave me the option of having a quinceañera party and spend money on that, or send me to the States for summer to learn English. And I decided that it made much more sense to come to the States for a summer than to have a lavish party. And I came to Pennsylvania to a girls' school for summer where I learned some English. And then I was 17 when I finished high school, I was able to get a scholarship to a college in Colorado where I was asked to be the assistant to the Spanish department teachers.
Deborah Wright is the winner of the Ireland on Sunday Writer Bestseller Competition. Fresh from the publication of her debut novel, Olivia's Bliss, Deborah Wright talks about what makes her tick and what makes her write. Olivia's Bliss is your debut novel and an overnight success. Has this come with a huge sigh of relief, or were you expecting to become published?
It was a huge relief because I took such a gamble with the book. It was 2 years ago, and I was 22 years old. I had just done my degree at Oxford, so there was a lot of pressure from my friends and family to join the rat race. Instead, I gave up my office job. I moved up north into a little attic room, borrowed money, borrowed a computer, lived off baked beans and busking, and hence I wrote Olivia's Bliss. And I started getting so many rejections from agents, and everyone was giving me lectures along the lines of, "Deborah, you're a loony, grow up and get a job." Mind you, I didn't take any notice. Writing the book was one of the happiest times of my life. I felt I was doing what I had always wanted to do. I was swimming in so much bliss, and I poured that bliss into the writing, which I think accounted for the happy, uplifting, witty nature of the book. When I spotted the Island on Sunday Writer Bestseller competition, it was really a last hope. When they phoned to say I had won, to say I felt relieved would be an understatement.
So what's always in the room when you write? A coffee, a cigarette, or a little light music?
I am incredibly pure. Well, in some senses. I don't smoke, I've never tasted coffee, and I was teetotal for 8 years until last month when I tentatively started again. I did read somewhere that having a drink when you're writing can help with flow, but I have such a low alcohol tolerance that it only takes me one Bailey's to get completely off my head, so maybe to make up for all this boring abstinence, I am the world's worst chocoholic. I gorge myself on Toblerone when I write. I'm wild about animals and my cat always keeps me company. And I'm dying to buy a tarantula. You know, the spider in the James Bond film that crawls over Sean Connery in bed. When I was younger, I got to hold him. The spider, not Sean Connery. And the sensation of it running up my arm was so deliciously tingly. It was cute and cuddly that I am still obsessed with getting one so it can wander over my desk and me when I'm writing.
When you're not writing, what are you doing?
My life seems to be one long flow of writing. I am so addicted to the bliss that I get from writing. I've been writing every day since I was 11 years old. But I'm not a complete recluse. My writing is punctuated by very long phone calls with friends, emails, eating out, meditation. And I love movies. Movies are so good for inspiration, much better than reading books. They ignite your imagination, but you don't have to run the risk of absorbing someone's writing style. I go and see everything that comes out.
Deborah Wright is the winner of the Island on Sunday Writer Bestseller competition. Fresh from the publication of her debut novel, Olivia's Bliss, Deborah Wright talks about what makes her tick and what makes her write. Olivia's Bliss is your debut novel and an overnight success. Has this come with a huge sigh of relief, or were you expecting to become published?
It was a huge relief because I took such a gamble with the book. It was 2 years ago, and I was 22 years old. I had just done my degree at Oxford, so there was a lot of pressure from my friends and family to join the rat race. Instead, I gave up my office job. I moved up north into a little attic room, borrowed money, borrowed a computer, lived off baked beans and busking, and hence I wrote Olivia's Bliss. And I started getting so many rejections from agents, and everyone was giving me lectures along the lines of, "Deborah, you're a loony, grow up and get a job." Mind you, I didn't take any notice. Writing the book was one of the happiest times of my life. I felt I was doing what I had always wanted to do. I was swimming in so much bliss, and I poured that bliss into the writing, which I think accounted for the happy, uplifting, witty nature of the book. When I spotted the Island on Sunday write a bestseller competition, it was really a last hope. When they phoned to say I had won, to say I felt relieved would be an understatement.
So what's always in the room when you write? A coffee, a cigarette, or a little light music?
I am incredibly pure. Well, in some senses. I don't smoke, I've never tasted coffee, and I was teetotal for 8 years until last month when I tentatively started again. I did read somewhere that having a drink when you're writing can help with flow, but I have such a low alcohol tolerance that it only takes me one Bailey's to get completely off my head, so maybe to make up for all this boring abstinence, I am the world's worst chocoholic. I gorge myself on Toblerone when I write. I'm wild about animals and my cat always keeps me company. And I'm dying to buy a tarantula. You know, the spider in the James Bond film that crawls over Sean Connery in bed. When I was younger, I got to hold him. The spider, not Sean Connery. And the sensation of it running up my arm was so deliciously tingly. It was cute and cuddly that I am still obsessed with getting one so it can wander over my desk and me when I'm writing.
When you're not writing, what are you doing?
My life seems to be one long flow of writing. I am so addicted to the bliss that I get from writing. I've been writing every day since I was 11 years old. But I'm not a complete recluse. My writing is punctuated by very long phone calls with friends, emails, eating out, meditation. And I love movies. Movies are so good for inspiration, much better than reading books. They ignite your imagination, but you don't have to run the risk of absorbing someone's writing style. I go and see everything that comes out.